Monday, September 21, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:00 p.m.
Guess I have room to spare up today, don't I?
Yeah, like that today.
We emailed a personal appearance, wow.
Kind of feel like Christmas Carol.
I missed you guys.
Good to see you. All right. All right, it's shortly after 1:00. We'll go ahead and start our county commissioner meeting. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony? Ashton? Kevin, give that training. Mike, get back. Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
I make a motion to excuse. Tony called me earlier this morning. He's under the weather, not able to make it today. And I had talked to Kevin, and Kevin is doing some training on a camera system in his vehicle. So I'd make a motion to excuse those two.
Second half. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens. We're going to go ahead and start with our tabled item. It's a resolution. We've been discussing wind energy at length over the last several months, trying to decide if the county is going to either go with a more stringent guidelines set forth by our planning and zoning department, or if we're going to have a moratorium. We've visited wind energy sites. We've had a number of people come in and talk about it. So I feel like, you know, we're probably pretty well informed on that. So it's up to us, you know, at this point to decide what we want to do with that. Speaking for myself, anybody that would ever want to come into this county with regard to wind energy would have to come and pull a permit through planning and zoning. They would have to come to the board and get it approved. And I feel like the board at that time could be as strict or stringent on any rules they have on that. So I guess my feeling is to have a moratorium where it's not possible at any time. I don't think that, you know, that's where I'm at right now. But I'd like to know what you guys think.
I don't want to shut down green energy, the thought of green energy, because I think it's a viable resource for us. But I certainly want to be very mindful of the health and safety of our residents, and I don't want to see a huge wind farm here. But I don't want it, companies or schools or cities to be able to supplement their energy with a wind tower that's not massive.
And I don't want to I don't want to sit here and tell people what they can and can't do with their property. And if I was next door to a wind energy tower and I was getting nothing for it, I wouldn't be in favor of that, but I don't feel like I can tell people that what they can and can't do with theirs. But if anybody ever would, there hasn't been an application in Dakota County, and if there ever had, there's certainly, Joe, do you feel like that the planning and zoning regs that we pushed through that you did are pretty stringent?
I think our regs that we push through are stringent, and the setbacks, it protects the county very well, and it also protects the residents from having one put right beside them that has a big setback from any non-participating property owner.
Yeah. And I appreciate all the work you did going through all those regs.
Yeah.
What was the setback, do you recall?
I don't recall, but...
And there was decibels, sound limit?
Yeah, there's a decibel limit. I know the setback is higher than the highest, than the tower and the height of the blade, plus like another length.
So it'd be half a mile or three miles?
I don't think it'd be that far, but it'd be far enough where if it were ever to fall, or if a wind blade were ever to release from one, it would never reach the non-participating property owner. Now, as far as a participating property owner, then that kind of...
Once they do their contract,
yeah,
that's kind of set.
It has a certain setback from their house, so if it were to fall or anything, they wouldn't be at harm's way. But it's up to them more because they're participating and they signed off on it.
Okay.
It does protect them a little bit as far as if it was ever decommissioned, who's responsible for taking out that base, which is a huge piece of concrete.
Yep.
And it goes back on the wind energy company.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest fears is that, you know, a wind farm would be decommissioned and then there you're set. So I know that you can have money set aside in escrow,
yeah,
and those would all have to be visited, yeah, very strictly if one was ever to come to Dakota County.
Yeah, and the board would be able to do that again. Mm-hmm.
Is that in writing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The company would have to have either an insurance or some form that the county is insured that they're not responsible, and that has to be in a way of an insurance policy or an actual check that the county would hold until it is decommissioned and cleaned out of there.
So if they applied for a permit, they would then make this deposit or this insurance available to the county?
Yep.
What about roads and bridges?
They have to have an agreement. They have to form an agreement with the county road superintendent before they could ever even get a permit. But we have no way of telling them, you know, that they're responsible for roads and bridges. That would have to come. That would come in that agreement with the road.
Wouldn't that come from the board, commissioners?
Yeah, when the permit's reviewed. I mean, they'd have to review that agreement between the road department and themselves, and then the commissioners would have review of that. And if they wanted
prior to getting a permit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of steps they got to go to even get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And like Marty said, you could always add
layers of protection there.
Yeah, layers of that to that conditional use, extra conditions on that.
So anybody who's going to do a wind tower has to come and get a permit.
Oh yeah.
Whether it be the
they have to have
or a.
Yeah, EPA studies and the whole ball of wax. I mean, it's not an easy deal. So for them to commit to that is a big step and they have to look at our regs and see what they're committing to before they ever put their name on a dotted line.
Can we limit the number or anything like that, or not really?
We don't have a limit on the number.
I mean, we have.
But I mean, that would be in the conditional use review.
If they would come and say, we want to build, put 75 towers, and we'd say, well, the Dakota County would only limit it to 30 or something. That would be, I mean, the county would be the one making the rules, not the people that were coming in.
And the county's such a level of population that they got to fill a lot of other areas of the state before they'd ever come to Dakota County.
I don't think we're a great candidate anyway.
Yeah,
but.
No, it'd have to be a certain big farm, you know, that's all away from any non-participating landowner.
And I was trying to do a little research on the energy tax credit. Did that end? I got the impression that ended December last year, 2019. There's an energy tax, like, for the big farms.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Depreciation.
That's all through the government.
Yeah.
You know, the federal government. I know there was a, you know, date where they were gonna not give them the tax benefit that they're getting. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, there were several that were decommissioned, but instead of taking them down, they just went ahead and built new ones because they wanted to get that tax
credit
going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't like.
Did you want something you wanted to add, Ms. Borja?
Yes, I'm Marcy Broyhill in Dakota City, and I appreciate the times in the past where you've allowed me to present some information. You've been very generous on that. And I am just I have been to a couple meetings, and Gage County, their setback has become a mile, and so has Lancaster. And there's more and more support for the larger setbacks. And I kind of agree with your that we are not maybe a great candidate in this area for industrial wind. However, I am concerned that landowners, whether they're absentee or present, are signing something before they come in here and apply. Because once they sign something, that land is not theirs to make decisions on for whatever 20 to 40 years. That's one of my main concerns, is that the landowners are educated about not signing anything, whether it be solar or industrial wind. So that is one of my great concerns, that they get set, because they will not outlive, most of them will not outlive that
contract.
Yep.
The one thing about it, if they do sign something with somebody, that entity is still going to have to come and get a building permit. So, you know, even if a landowner enters a contract with them, they won't be able to build anything unless they come through the proper channels and get a building permit to do that. So
right, but still, that landowner has signed over his land.
Mm-hmm.
He can't use it for collateral.
Mm-hmm.
Can't.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
I appreciate all the information that you've given us over these last few months too.
I kind of like the idea of the mile. If that's a good set, you know, as a conservative one. I don't know what ours is.
Yeah.
As far as we can be.
Do we want to take a look at that distance and then maybe just make a final determination on it at our next meeting, Joe? Is that a possibility?
It can be brought. I could talk to the.
You'd have to take it back to planning and zoning to change it.
Yeah, I can't make that decision.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and keep it tabled, and we will talk, and we'll get together and get that figured out and get a final setback. Everything else is fine. We'll just go with a final setback, and then we'll amend the new regulation and then go from there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Next, it's public comment. If there's something that's not on today's agenda, if you look through and there's nothing mentioned about while you're here, you're welcome to come forward at this time and make comment.
I do have one comment.
You bet.
The minutes that are on the board. It's, I had several calls about from farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Misunderstanding that 610.1 is strictly for ag residential. They were thinking that the whole county was being covered at that meeting, that we were just talking about two animal units per acre and the whole deal. So,
and that's just for ag residential?
It's just ag residential zoning.
Okay. All right, next we'll look at consent agenda items. Approval of previous minutes from September 8th, approval of accounts payable, and then approval of official reports, clerk, register of deeds, and clerk of district court. I had one issue or one thing I wanted to bring to the board's attention with regard to the accounts payable. When the auditors went through the last couple years, they've been recommending that the sheriff's office had some accounts that needed to be transferred into the general fund. One of those accounts is a lab fee that is set aside when intoxilizer tests are given. That fee is to replace equipment, things of that nature. So they have brought that over and gave it to the general fund. They're also requesting payment then to, because they're going to, in the process of buying a new intoxilizer. So the lab fee that they've turned over to us, and going forward they'll continue to turn it into the general fund, but they've just request that. And normally that's not a deal that, you know, you get rid of a piece of equipment, but this is a little different deal because that fund is set aside for that purpose.
So we're pulling enough money back out to get a new...
Yeah, yes.
They're requesting it be paid from the general miscellaneous rather than the sheriff's.
The sheriff's
fund.
Yeah,
for that. And that way they'll consolidate that account into the general fund. Mm-hmm. And, but they'll still have that ability to do that. So that was the only concern I had with regard to... Otherwise, everything else, I went through all of the accounts payable, and everything appeared to be in good standing.
Okay. I'll make a motion to then approve the minutes from the last meeting, accounts payable, claims, as well as the official reports.
Barton?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Under new business, we have approval of payroll claims September 6th through September 19th of 2020. I went ahead and went through those. For the most part, everything was in order. There is a little bit of an issue with the county attorney's office. Going into this year, we had the 2% raise, or 35 cents, whatever was greater. There are some items in there, or some employees that they requested increase from 2.4% to 10.1%. I had a conversation with the county attorney and had indicated that if people had taken on new responsibilities or if they were at a different level, that's something that would be looked at on an individual case-by-case deal. But I guess with a number of people that are not at the same point as everybody else, my personal feeling was that I would like to see the 2% have it set at that 2% and go forward from there.
2% or 35?
Yeah, the 2%
or whatever was 35. Greater.
Yeah, whatever is greater.
Okay. And then maybe at a later time look at those levels.
Like we need to get it. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a more certain level, and mm-hmm. if there are going to be steps within a certain job, there need to be different criteria that is met mm-hmm. by that. And it can't just be a blanket deal for department by department.
I think that would be challenging.
Yeah.
As courthouse in total.
Yeah. So I guess that would be my motion, that we would go ahead and approve the payroll. The only change in the payroll would be that the ones in question would be given the 2% at this time, and approve it at that.
I can second that motion.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right, we're going to open bids for the Wiggle Creek Overlay Project out a little bit west of Homer there.
I've got two bids, Knife River and Barkley Asphalt. This is Barkley Asphalt's bid. There is two parts to this bid. One is to completely remove and put in a new base for what is there. The other is to clean holes, clean tack overlay with a 2-inch, and then put a 2-inch hot mix overlay over the whole thing. So there's actually two bids. One is to completely remove, the other is just to put an overlay.
Okay.
His first bid for removal and 6-inch put back in is $71,755. With the 2-inch overlay is $47,870. Second bid is Knife River. To remove and put in the 6-inch, Knife River has no bid written in. And for the 2-inch overlay and with the crack ceiling, it is $49,928.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Larry, you've been out there enough and looked at that part of that road. Is there any part of that asphalt that's salvageable in your mind?
Not with the base that's got under it.
No. Yeah. It's yeah, really...
If you don't want that road to be there, you're going to have to go with option A. If you want it there 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Four. Because that's the problem. There's nothing to support. It's only... Because the asphalt's only as good as the base it's on. And there is no base in this case.
You're in agreement with that, Fred? That
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too. I mean, that thing is so beat up, I don't know where you'd start cutting it out and patching it.
You're not talking about, you know, $36,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's going to be there 20 years from now, that's a step forward.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Would that be the life of this if we do the, would it be 20 year, 10 year? Because this hasn't been on there that long, has it, what we have on there?
It's probably been there 20 years.
Has it been there that long?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's been there a long time. A lot of times, so in between.
What's that, Larry?
It's been packed a number of times in between.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that thing there going west on Federal, Wiggle Creek, that's never been any good. Of course, there's only 2 inches thick too, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it, at least.
And this bid was for 6 inches, right?
Yeah.
Rather than two?
Six inches was
significantly better. Though.
Cement stabilized, Portland cement stabilized base.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which, that's the big thing.
That's the problem now. The base is just not there.
Is there a moisture issue in there, you think, or just...
Yes. You know, it just gets potholes in it, and then the water
goes in
and soaks it up, and
yeah,
it just makes a mess of it. Yeah. And it was, for starters, it was never put on there thick enough anyway. Like I said, I think it's only 2 inches thick, and you can't have 80,000-pound loads running across the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
To stand up. I mean, that's foolish.
A lot of trucks run on that road. That's a...
Yeah.
main artery out of the hills there.
I just don't, I mean, if you get on there by the ball fields on Fiddler, comes out of Homer, I mean, that, I don't know when, that thing must have been done 60 years ago or 50.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many times it's been overlaid, but I mean, that's
it's still in pretty good shape.
At least it's not, mm-hmm. weak, soft boils in it, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody did it right in the beginning.
Yeah.
I think that was back when Alfred was commissioner. Remember Alfred Harris?
Yeah. I don't remember him, but I remember him being a commissioner.
Yeah.
You're slightly older than me, Larry.
Whatever happened, they did it right.
Yeah. Okay. So is that your recommendation, Larry?
I would say so. Yeah.
And I'd second that.
To go with option A, $71,755,
yep.
Barclay. Okay. Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes. All right, now we have Terry Schumacher from the NRD. She's going to talk to us about a project that they're looking at here in Dakota County.
Yep, good afternoon. Terry Schumacher with the Tappy Missouri River Natural Resource District. And I've got some bigger maps of this project.
Oh, thank you.
A little easier to see, I think. This is a project, watershed project, that is part of the Pigeon Jones Creek watershed special project that the district has had in existence for well over 20 years now. And this structure site, PJ-12A, is the latest structure we propose. It's on the Pigeon Creek. It'll drain, it has about 3,000 acres of drainage above it, so as you can see, it's a pretty large-scale project. We've been working on this particular project for a number of years, right, Fred?
Yes.
Mm. And then I had the privilege of working with the Corps of Engineers on the permit process, 404 permit. We started on June 1st of 2018, and by golly, we got the permit here about 10 days ago. So,
sounds like it was a pleasure to work with him.
Yeah, it's but we made it to the finish line because it wasn't guaranteed. So,
yep.
So now that we have that in hand, we've got everything we need to advertise for bids and actually try to construct this project. But the one little thing we need to do is request that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners either close or abandon a portion of 240th Street from O Avenue to Odell, because in a high water event, this structure, the yellow line on that map, is the 100-year flood pool. And you can see it would pretty much inundate that portion of the road. And working with Fred, I think he was suggesting that, you know, we go clear to the west to Odell Avenue, because
this is going to be a place to dump garbage if you don't cut it off of that intersection. You know, it'll just be a
So anyway, that's the NRD's formal request, and if you have questions or whatever process we go from here, that would be very acceptable.
What size of pool do you expect to have up there when you're finished?
It's going to be roughly 35 acres.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good.
And about how deep?
It'll be, you know, close to 25 to 30 feet down towards the dam, mm-hmm. you know, in the main channel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then it'll have a spillway then into the.
Yeah.
Channel, and away you go.
Yeah. No, it'll protect. No, it's going to be built as a flood control structure, so it'll, control 3,000 acres. So hopefully it slows the water a little bit down, coming down the pipe there towards Hubbard and Matt.
What type of time frame is the project to completion?
Probably take 6 months to get it built. We're hoping to get it bid this fall so we can get the tree removal done. Because you got to have that done before the nesting season in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and otherwise you get into a whole bunch of other hoops to jump through. So if we can get the trees down this winter, then that's taken care of, then hopefully the spring, and of course with Nebraska's weather.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Is it a silt dam, or is it actually going to contain water all the time?
It'll contain water all the time, but it's got a silt life, you know, that theoretically it'll silt in over, you know.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
But
a lot of times it drains dry after this little rain.
No, this will have a permanent pool of roughly 35 acres.
So now that may be a place to fish.
I would think that would be a good possibility.
Will that be on private property?
This will be on private property.
So you can't go there unless you got permission.
That's correct.
Well, I don't fish anymore anyway, just curious.
Well, me neither. I should more, but I don't.
Do you know how close this is to that railroad bridge, that old historic?
Yes, I do. The old... The old historic bridge is on here somewhere, Fred.
Stone Arch?
Yeah, there it is. It's right up near the yellow and the blue on the right-hand side. The water basically go right up to that bridge.
Okay, so it won't be underwater.
No.
I think that's
nope. And that was one of the big environmental questions that we had to get answered. But no, it will not.
It's on the right-hand side, you say?
Of your map?
Yeah.
You know, as you go up the tailwaters.
Okay.
There's a little grove of trees with kind of a clearing through them. That's that stone arch,
right,
stone bridge.
Okay. And so at the high flood level, it would still be...
Yep, right. Because that bridge sits up a little higher.
Okay.
So...
Okay. Is this one done, or just in process? This
we are getting ready to bid the project out here. We'll probably advertise for bids in October, take it to our board in November, and hopefully they award a contract.
All right, looks good to me. What do you guys think?
They'd have to go through the same vacate process that anything else would.
That's what I want.
All the landowners.
Clarify.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the cost to the taxpayer?
Flush that out.
Global.
To close the road?
Well, to build this thing. Is it all patio money?
It's all patio money.
That's good. We're ready.
So then we'd have to go through the process, you say, Kim, to vacate the road.
And notify all everybody.
Yeah.
And
have them sign on it. Okay, so we can start that process. We'll start that process.
Yeah, and that's, I guess that was my request, really, is and how, if there's anything the NRD or I need to do to help that process.
Do you need to get the petition signed by 10 or more elector residents within 10 miles?
They're probably there. They're praying.
Is that what, do you know what that normally, have you done this before?
I have not done this, but I'm always willing to learn.
Fred, when we've done them in the past, is it the project director that does that, or is who, because we've done that a few times in the last few years where we've abandoned a portion of a road, and they've come in with...
It's usually the person that requests the closure of the road that goes through the procedure.
Okay. Where would he get that in? Where does that information come from?
My office.
Okay.
There's a form that you need to get. I'll send it to you.
Just send it to me, and we'll work to get that done in a timely fashion.
Okay.
And they, you said it has to be within 10 miles of the road, I guess?
Yep.
Does anybody use that road trail?
No, there's actually a closed bridge on it now.
Oh.
It's basically closed down. Bridge has been closed for 15 to a year or better.
So it's not like there should be any opposition.
Yeah, this would be a very good road to get off our inventory.
All right, very good.
So typically, if we get the 10 signatures or whatever we need, how long is the process typically?
If they have it back for the next meeting, Kim, is that something that...
they need a study.
3 weeks. Right.
There's a study and a written report within 30 days.
which we can do to the next meeting. So it'd be at least two meetings?
Well, that's fine. I'm just, man, I don't know that there's a huge rush. I'm trying to get.
By the end of October.
Okay, that'd be great. All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
If you have any other questions, Joan or Fred knows how to get all of me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everything has to be published for 3 weeks, too. Public notice for 3 weeks. And then the mail owners, certified mail 2 weeks before. And then here.
All right. Next, we're going to have a hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer written, oral information supporting or opposing or making neutral comment regarding the presentation of the Dakota County 1- and 6-year road plan with a purchase or with the purpose of adopting the plan. Fred.
The state of Nebraska no longer requires a 1- and 6-year plan, but I would thought it'd be best to give you a 1-year plan.
Okay.
Of projects that the county's got going in the next fiscal year. And anything can be, this isn't written in stone, where anything can be removed or something can be added. I didn't put any of the maintenance things, culverts or stuff like that, that we're going to do, just the large projects. But the first one you see is paving Old Sawmill Road and overlay on Wiggle Creek, bridge on T Avenue, overlay on Ponderosa Lane, North Bluff hard surface repair, North Bluff bank stabilization, M Avenue bridge repair, Jackson High Bridge stabilization, replace a bridge on Oakdale Road, and another bridge on T Avenue. If there's any questions about any of these projects, some of these projects, as you know, have already gotten a bid and started, and other ones will.
An Oakdale Bridge up to Willis, is that required to replace the bridge? We have to do that, or we just fix what's there?
I've had two engineers look at it. I have a replacement coming for it right now, a bid for a replacement for it. Everyone told me, even the contractor, that guy that did our last bridge, Ryan, he said, you would put over 100,000+ in it and still end up with a 7-ton bridge. And I think for a whole new structure, you're going to be right around 150.
Well, isn't the south side that just had new sheet piling and H-pile driven not very long ago? Why would a guy tear that out and start over?
The way I took it, Larry, is the whole deck had to be taken off and all the stringers taken off, and some of them had to be replaced because of fractured
failure. I saw that picture you gave me, but I didn't see nothing that serious about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going by what the engineers told me. I actually got Ryan, Norfolk over there to give me, he's talking over $100,000 just for repairs to get it to a 7-ton bridge. Yeah. So I had Husker Steel come up with the design, which it should be ready within here in 2 weeks to 4 weeks. And you can make your decision there if you want to replace the whole bridge or if you want me to.
Is that like a steel span bridge from Husker, or is it with concrete deck?
Concrete deck.
Okay.
Basically, they've done 4 bridges for us now.
Yeah.
It'll be basically the same type of bridge.
Is their engineering measuring and be built into the cost of the bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Norfolk?
So all these are in our budget. These are all already budgeted for?
Yes.
And then the T-Bow?
If they aren't, your finance committee's.
And and T Avenue, both of those are two different bridges?
Yes.
And they're both being shared?
Yes.
Share is the T Avenue.
There's a Kenny Burchill.
A little bit concerned.
Yeah, two different ones. I didn't want to know if they're different or the same.
They are different.
A little concerned about how slow the process with JEO was on the first bridge on T Avenue. So I have a second opinion coming from Husker Steel also on repairs on the other T bridge on T Avenue.
What's wrong with that bridge?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, it looks all right to me.
The caps have slid over and there's a fracture.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not old, that old a bridge, is it, about the one I'm thinking of?
No, yeah, it's 30, you know, 30 years, somewhere near, Larry. It's not an older one. The way, when me and another engineer went to look, he thinks a lot of trash just came down that and beat it up pretty bad. Widened the channel out to the south side, yeah. And then that allowed the trash to get a good swing at everything.
Yeah.
That's what he says, that's his opinion. Yeah. And engineers are never wrong.
Is the Ponderosa overlay yet this fall thing?
I haven't put it out for bids yet, but if you...
We probably should, because I know we patched it this summer. But it's not in the best shape.
Well, it won't take long to round up bits. But.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
We still have an open hearing, right?
Yep. So do we have anybody here that wants to make any comments with regard to supporting the one year? Go ahead, Bill.
Can I take this off?
You bet you can.
I don't know if it's mandatory or not.
No.
I would like to urge the board, and I've got a handout here. Pass that around. One time we had the South Bluff Road on the 1 and 6.
Okay.
And I just got a few reasons on here why I think it should be back on there again and looked at it, at least by your board. Number one, it's the only entrance exit into Homer when the bridge is not available, which over the years has happened quite a bit. Repair, they replaced it in 83 or 84, so it was closed for, you know, we had that traffic for 6 or 8 months. And the railroad's always also a factor there if it's blocked. And it's extremely important, I think, with emergency vehicles having access to an all-weather road to get in and out of Homer in those. Either one of those two things might block the entrance into Homer.
Okay.
Looking down the road, the Landman Golf Course, you know, is a multi-million dollar project being built by the Anderson family, 3 miles north of Homer. And they'll be utilizing this road to access their course. And I feel there'll be people from all over the United States.
No, there will be, I'm pretty sure.
Visiting that course. Then number three, we've got 32 over-the-road trucks, and there's times, not to the fault of anybody here or the operator, I think it's just, there's times we can't get trucks home, you know, the spring of the year especially.
Yeah.
And if we do, it just tears the road up, and we don't want to do that. But we have to get them out there. Services and so on, it just can't be avoided. Down below there, we pay over $400,000 a year in road use taxes with our trucks.
How much of that does the county get?
That's divvied out through the state.
Actually, that's where the road department gets all their allocations from the road tax, fuel tax. And we get very little, as you know, from property tax.
Mm-hmm.
But as the road department, all of our funds come from the road use tax.
Oh, when you say all.
Well, I get like 2 to 3% of property taxes. I think I get the road department gets 2 to 3% of like the annual fees for licensing. Like the bulk of the money road departments get is through fuel taxes and road taxes through the state, that the state charges. That's where the allocation is coming from, the road department. Another comment on South Bluff. At one time, the reason South Bluff was on the 1 and 6, when the county did North Bluff, they were always going to keep going south and on South Bluff to make a paved road through the center of the town. Farm to market type of road.
Mm-hmm.
We all see how much traffic is on North Bluff, and I'm sure South Bluff gives that much traffic. It's just not a big road as all.
Yeah.
But that's how it all started. That's why the South Bluff was on the 1 and 6. That's why North Bluff got paved, because the county's wishes was to make a paved road to the
About 4 or 5 miles, I think.
Maybe you took it all the way to Hubbard.
Drive over?
Pardon? Yeah.
How many miles?
6.
From Hubbard to Hubbard?
I think it's over 5.
I was going to say 7.
Chop to chop, 7.
6 to 7 miles.
I'd say around 7 miles. That might be. I've never.
These are all valid.
But you know, this morning I drove over to Hubbard and I met 6 grain trailers going to the ethanol plant, I'm assuming. And I also come back around on Bluff Road, South Bluff, and there was no trucks this morning.
Just depends on the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely it'll be covered with them.
It will.
It's a busy road. Do we have, I'm sure we have traffic counts.
We can request one.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main road.
It'd be nice to have a traffic count.
It would. It would surprise you how many cars go up and down those roads.
You know, that gas plant even brought in a lot of traffic, believe it or not. You know, they have to be able to get in and out of there any time of the year, any time of the day or night.
And that golf course is supposed to be a year from now?
I think the end of 21 or beginning of 22, that'll be completed. And I think a lot of that traffic will funnel through Homer.
A lot of it will come from, you know, south of us, and that will probably funnel through the Homer there and take. Yeah. I'm sure that's where the GPS will take them.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. But I just, for a while this spring, I called Larry. We had some traffic. They were doing some work on 77, and that Homer traffic was blocked. So they come out. There'd be, I'd be 5 cars a minute.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that bridge coming in town, you know, that's going to be replaced probably in my lifetime again.
The, and 77's not near being done, being worked over.
No, it's, sometimes our county road's better than 77, I think. The traffic is just, we finally put dust control down in front of our shop. But it would be nice, not just for us, but the whole community of Homer to have that paved someday.
Did you keep everybody running through this whole crazy year we're having?
You know, we slowed down, but now it's busier than it was back in before this hit.
Really? Mm-hmm.
We had a couple months where it was pretty scarce, but it's taken off. I think our dairy products that we haul, with the schools being shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Kids don't drink milk at home. They drink it at school because they have to. Yeah, that really made a big difference. You wouldn't think so, but it did. So it's coming back.
Drink Mountain Dew at home.
That's right. You know it.
All right.
But thank you for
thank you, Bill.
Hearing me out.
That's a good thing.
You bet. Thanks for the information, too.
All right.
See you, Bill.
See ya.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else who wants to talk with regards to the 1 and 6? Anybody in opposition of anything that we've seen on the 1 and 6? Anybody have any? Did you have something, Jen?
One other thing I was thinking about is, we've talked about it before, is the M Avenue. I mean, with the park and there's trucking on that road. It's pretty heavily used road.
Yep.
It might not be budgetary possible right now, but I think we should start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for sources.
Yep. And that's another thing. I know the NRD has been fairly strapped through the last few years too, but eventually, you know, maybe it had been looked at trying to do a partnership with some of the different entities.
Exactly.
And I think if it's going to get done, that's how it's going to get done. So hopefully, unless Larry leaves us some, I don't think we're...
No, I got to go to the nursing home. It costs about $80,000 a year.
All right, and then anybody have any neutral comments? All right, we'll go ahead and close the hearing now. All right, at this time, residents from the homestead or from the farmsteads to address the board concerning regarding zoning regulation 610.1, principal permitted use number 6 as part of the from the state's farm, animal, and livestock shall be located no closer than 500 feet from the lot line where the adjoining property is used. We have a situation out there that has come to the attention of the county, and planning and zoning has been out there. So we just like to give you guys an opportunity to say what you got on your mind, and we will go ahead and give you each and every one of you 3 minutes if you'd like to talk, and we'll go ahead and start now.
Okay, so yeah, we're just here for a little clarification on that ordinance, and I was actually highly encouraged by Tony to be here today, and it's unfortunate he can't be here, but I have something written up just so you can kind of see the whole picture of where I'm coming from.
You bet.
So my name's Amanda, and I reside at 932 Ithaca Way, along with my neighbors here, with my husband Nikki and our two boys who are 3 and 4. We moved to the farmstead almost 2 years ago, and we purchased our home along with 5.6 acres in that agricultural residential area, as Joe mentioned. This was perfect as we wanted to raise our kids to be self-sufficient and live off the land that was federally funded for this purpose in the 40s. Shortly after we moved, we experienced a lot of unexpected health issues with our youngest son having multiple febrile seizures. And for nearly a year, we spent every week between our local clinic, Mercy, and Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, trying to find answers from his specialist. But of April this year, he's been 1 year seizure-free. So at the time that we moved in, we had 4 goats at the time that came with us, and we actually purchased an additional 10 in between our son's hospitalizations. And we purchased and built a fence specialized in keeping the sheep and goats in. And at that time, we realized 14 goats was, we bit off a little more than we could chew, you know, okay. And, you know, the neighbors had numerous complaints with law enforcement that the goats were getting out of their fence, even though the goats were never destructive to their property, but they were actually attracted to the apples that fell onto our property from the apple tree adjacent to our neighbors to the south. At this time, we were given an ordinance by the Planning and Zoning Administrator that we needed to get rid of our animals because it did not apply to the 500 feet from the neighbor's lot line, given that we own 5.6 acres. We resorted to rehoming all 14 of our goats back to our dads in Jackson. And at the same time, we had chickens that we harvest for meat and eggs. There was no complaints about the chickens until recently after we had gotten rid of our goats. We have a coop and run as well as a greenhouse and a run for the winter time to house our chickens. And although 95% of our chickens stay in the run, there are still a couple that manage to escape. I mean, this is natural on a farm considering our boys help feed and water the chickens and some slip through the gate. We tried resolving this issue last year by putting up a privacy fence when the planning and zoning inspectors said we could keep our animals as long as our neighbors signed a written agreement that they were okay with it. We pitched the idea to our neighbors, and they declined to sign an agreement. Therefore, we never put up an additional fence separating our boundaries. I wanted to be noted that Nebraska is a fence in, fence out state, so although we have a duty to fence in our animals, which we do, it is natural that animals wander or at times break through the gates or fencing. Our neighboring landowners also have a duty to fence livestock out if they want it off their property, and our neighbors do not have a fence on their 1 acre. So the reason we're here today is to have clarification on what section 610.1 part 6 interprets. Quote, feeding and raising farm animals, including livestock, not to exceed a concentration of 2 animal units per acre. Farm animals and livestock shall be located no closer than 500 feet from a lot line when adjoining property is used for residential, motel, hotel, or cabin resort purposes. Our properties are not used for these purposes, so we're just clarifying if the 500-foot rule really applies. because 610.2 part 10 states one animal unit is considered 100 chickens, 50 turkeys or 5 ducks. 50 turkeys but only 5 ducks. Okay, that doesn't make sense because turkeys are a lot bigger than ducks, but whatever. Therefore, with that interpretation, with my 5.6 acres, I can technically have 1,120 chickens, is how I interpret it. With the farmsteads originally funded by the federal government in the 40s, each lot was given a home with 7 acres and animals to be self-sustained. Even with the original 7 acres, 500 feet from the neighboring lot line would be impossible. We've tried it. Even diagonally, it only gives us 375 feet from our neighbor's lot line. And our homes are only 200 to 300 feet from each other. So if I had 500 feet from the north side, for my neighbors who are complaining, who's to say that my neighbor on the south side would allow me to have my animals? So really, what does agricultural residential really mean if we're unable to have our animals? They're a part of who we are, a part of our family, a part of our lifestyle. It doesn't seem appropriate that we can't have animals outside of city limits within 500 feet from our neighbors, but I can live within 500 feet from a registered sex offender from our two little farm boys. So, and according to Steve Martin, executive director of the Alliance for the Future of Agriculture in Nebraska, Dakota County was actually designated a livestock-friendly county by the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. This county applied for that designation and made a commitment to support the livestock industry. So to him, the 500-foot provision is a bad policy and should be removed, and this is something that the county can do. So,
all right, thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah, we have the certificate right there, Dakota County, livestock-friendly county, right on the wall there.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
I never did figure out what that meant.
Well, today's your education, Larry.
Think about it. Does that mean that someone can build a feedlot right next to my house?
You would have to be zoned for a feedlot.
Well.
And these are zoned, you know, for ag residential. You know, you couldn't do it next to a residential, so they couldn't do that to you, Larry.
Well, it says that, you know, livestock friendly.
We are livestock friendly, but not that friendly.
Oh, I got to move.
See, that's what my concern was, because yep. Ag residential was.
Go ahead and start with your name.
Oh, Bobby Stapleton, sorry.
Yeah.
And this is my first time ever in here.
All right, well, welcome.
So, my understanding was they were zoned agricultural residential for a smaller, more condensed area, but where you could still have, like, your animals and whatever. So, I don't know if that, I guess I'd like to know where that 500 foot rule will come in at. I don't know, maybe if it's a typo. You know, maybe it's supposed to be 50, and it was just a simple typo. That's where I would like to know what the intent was, because it totally defeats the intent of what agricultural residential means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because really, you only have to have 2.5 acres now out there to build a house.
And that would give you 500 feet.
Even if somebody built a house and they only want to have a little chicken coop with 10 chickens, they literally can't, because there's no way they'd be 500 feet from anybody, let alone when you have 7 acres, you know? So that's why, I mean, I guess I'd like to try and figure out where this.
Yeah.
We understand they need their animals fenced in.
Yeah.
Shane and I are going to help them. We've got bobcats. We've got post hole diggers. We just, they don't want to put the fence up.
If we have to get rid of our chickens and ducks.
I mean, they're a young family. They have young kids. That's a big expense.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. I mean, you know, that if we have to get rid of our animals out there, because it applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. And everybody in Dakota County that is zoned agricultural residential, and who's to say that, they put the fence up and the neighbors quit complaining, but then a year from now they get mad because they hear chickens or roosters crowing and they start calling and complaining. Well, technically by 500 feet we shouldn't have animals there. Nobody in Nebraska should, or in Dakota County I should say, not Nebraska, but the zoned, you know, according to this 500 foot rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how do we go about interpreting what that actually means or where it come about or.
That's probably our job. That's probably our job. I mean, you give us all the information that you have and then we go forward from there. All right.
Yeah, and like I said, we're more willing to help them get their fence and everything up to.
And that's great, yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it, but they've been trying to figure this out for like a year and a half now. And,
okay.
And I don't know if it's really right, so to speak, as we were told, that we have to have permission from our neighbors. Well, why why should we have to have permission to have animals from our neighbors? You know, there's no reason for us to put this fence up if...
And the county's just trying to...
If tomorrow they're coming out to...
And I get it. They're trying to put it...
And the county's just trying to get it to where everybody... I mean, nobody's out to get anybody. And the county's just trying to put their best foot forward to make it... You know, the old saying, good fences make good neighbors.
I agree.
And everybody gets along
out there.
Yeah. And
but
that's,
I mean, I feel, too, we just kind of put a band-aid on it at this point.
Yeah. So that's why I think too, we need to take a deeper look at it and decide it so somebody that moves into there 3 years from now has guidance and knows what the situation is.
And we'd like to know where we stand. I mean, even though we're ag residential, do we have to get rid of our animals? Because nobody out there that's 500 feet away from anybody, you know, with their animals. There's just not.
That's true.
Our homes are closer than that.
And there's a lot of people that are zoned ag residential in Dakota County. So, I mean, we just got to kind of figure out what that rule is exactly and what it applies to.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll keep kicking around a little bit more today. We'll keep going, talking about it. We'll see what we get figured out.
So how do we know what the...
Just grab a chair and we'll see what we come up with here.
Okay. So do I have time to run to the restroom?
You bet. Go ahead. You bet. Rick.
Hey, Marty.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Come on in.
Joe and I, we kind of wrote these rules.
Yep.
And when we did this, we had Simcoe come in. And we pulled rigs and stuff from other townships, cities, or what have you. It's instances like this that... is when things need to be corrected. So like this 500-foot rule, it probably, in their instance where they're out there in that 7-acre area, doesn't fit that area.
Yeah.
So, and we've all got to, you know, work through this, and I think probably it needs to go back to planning and zoning and be rewritten to fit that area.
Yeah.
Because these people here, as a rule, can have as many livestock as long as they're within the guidelines of the state of Nebraska, according to animal units.
Yeah.
Which those rigs that are in here came from there.
So, yep.
But,
Like
Nebraska is livestock friendly, and that does have a big bearing on livestock in the state of Nebraska.
For sure.
And 1 out of 4 jobs in the state of Nebraska is agriculture. So,
yeah, I'm surprised it's not higher than that, but you're absolutely right.
You know, that's still quite a few people played by.
Yeah. I mean, it's an agriculture state. It's what it is.
Anyway, I'm on their side.
All right. I appreciate you coming in.
Somebody comes out and builds a house by my farm, and let's say my feed yard's up against their house, and they built there. I didn't build their house. They did. So that 500-foot rule couldn't apply in my instance, too, and I'm
I went through less than a week ago, and I stopped at every residence on Ithaca Way, every residence in the farmsteads, and there was not a single place that you could stand in the farmsteads where you were not within 500 feet of an animal. I mean, there are people that have, you know, horses, people that have goats, people that have chickens, different kinds of fowl, even wandering turkeys that came into the garage. I told one of the young ladies in attendance, I stopped and talked to one of the young ladies, and I said, you need to get your turkey pinned up. And she says, that's not my turkey. And I said,
it's super nice. That's why we live there. I grew up in the farmsteads. My family has owned property out there since 59, and that's why we live out there. That's why we chose to raise our family out there.
But you guys,
and
all
the younger people are coming out there with younger kids, and I'm more willing to help them out, but we need a little bit of clarification, because that 500-foot rule just does not work.
Yeah, and you understand that, you know, nobody's trying to push anything on anybody. There's none. We're just trying to get it to where everybody's can live their best life in Dakota County. And if you guys are willing to help them do a fence, you know, whatever we decide here, I mean, that's tremendous. That's tremendous.
And we had it ready last year. But then they were told they couldn't have animals because it's 500-foot rule. Mm-hmm. So they got rid of their...
They needed permission.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what Rick was saying, that the complaining neighbor, which is fine, she has every right to, her house is on 1 acre, which was originally part of our 7. So, you know, things do fall through their crack. This is how it happened. A family member sold it, and then their family member built a house. Well, like you said, I didn't tell them to build that house there, you know? And granted, she was there before us, but what's ours is ours, and what's hers is hers, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then what is the situation? I know some entities are different. If somebody wants to build that, build a fence on their property, not on, say, not maybe not on the property line, if they set back a couple of feet, I mean, they have every right to build that fence, don't they, Joe?
Yes, they do.
And those
now, if they build it on their own side of home, even 6 inches on their property, nobody can stop them
from building that fence.
See, I talked to a guy today from the state of Lincoln, and he told me you can build right on the property line.
The state of Lincoln?
You can build it.
I do know what you meant.
Because he said, if like, say they build it a foot over, mm-hmm. which would appease her, so it's not right on the property line, but eventually she can take ownership of that foot of property.
Adverse
too.
Possession on it.
So he said, you know, like, everybody usually builds on her mm-hmm. on the property line to avoid that.
Is there no way to? Do you?
It's ours. So Nick and I spoke to her, and we. Before, we tried to resolve issues private before coming here,
mm-hmm.
and she said, if you put it right on the property line, I own half, and I will vandalize my side of the fence. Obviously, we didn't do it because this is why we didn't do it last year, because she didn't sign the agreement that we couldn't have our animals. The problem is there's two pine trees that sit on her property but grow onto our side, and then one apple tree that hangs at least 30 feet into our yard. It hangs down. We plan on putting up an 8-foot fence, and that tree hangs.
It would destroy their fence.
Yeah.
And she is being told that we have to have her permission in order to cut the tree.
To cut the fence.
This is another thing that we've been trying to bring. What we want to do things right. We do, but okay, so if we can't cut the tree, how do you put up the fence? If you want the fence out to keep out the animals, what do you want to do? You have
yeah.
to control what's yours, but you can't control what
yes.
we want.
Why don't we, what do you think about taking it, Janet and Larry, and sending it back to planning and zoning? Look at the regulations, how it pertains to this particular development, because as it's written now, you know, nobody could have animals out there, and I don't think that's what that development was set up for. It was set up for exactly the opposite.
Yeah, and I think we misunderstood. I mean, when we talked about it last time, we didn't know.
Yeah.
We hadn't gone out there and measured
yeah.
anything to know.
Yeah, that and that's why I kind of really wanted to get out there and look things
one
over.
One girl needs to have about 2 dozen goats fenced in on his property to get rid of the weeds.
Who's that?
I can't tell you.
Oh. So, Joe, I don't know what, you know, I think we should go back and revisit it and, you know, make it pertain to the development we have. It's hard when there are lots of so much different size. So I don't know if we take that out, the number of feet, and just have a requirement that those animals are kept on their property, and after they are not, if they're reported and they're not, after they're reported several times, then you'd have to take action based on the fact that they can't control it. It'd be a nuisance animal at that point.
Yeah, and I agree.
And I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying,
and
but
we take full responsibility, like with the goats. Like I said, they've been rehomed, but you know, we want to make matters right. We want to go about it the right way, but it's hard if you don't have a neighbor that agrees on it. You know, and
we also want, if somebody has a garden here, if somebody has a patio here, and you have the ability to put your animals beside somebody else's animals on the backside of your yard, just be kind to your neighbors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no reason to, I mean, people can needle people as much as they want,
yeah.
but there's no reason to do that. If everybody comes at it from the right place, then, I mean, I think there's no doubt it can be successful.
Yeah,
we all love each other.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's the best thing. Well, Lola's going to have to stay home now.
I know. That's going to be hard on her.
Well, you guys can go visit.
She's not ours.
We can go visit.
I mean, like I said, we're just...
So, and Joe, I sorry we threw you in the middle of this, because that's just how the process is, you know. So
I know,
but I mean, it's...
So
I don't want you... You know, because Joe... I know Joe. I don't know him really well, but I know he's not the bad guy in any of this, because he's just doing what we're telling him.
Well, I tried to explain it to him, though, too, when he was at Amanda's a few weeks ago,
what we were upset about. It wasn't that they need to keep their animals in, but it was the spike in our pool because
and he's
technically
put,
it affects everybody out there.
He's telling you the information so he can come back and tell us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like he's not out there. He's not out there with any ill will towards anybody.
No, I know.
So,
we're just trying to figure out how to change that.
So that's what we're looking at now. We'll go ahead
and I was told you guys are the ones that could change it, so.
I think it goes back to zoning.
So, Marty, is the planning and zoning, do they meet as needed, or?
They're actually monthly. They've been monthly.
They've started monthly.
Yeah, and
we have to meet 6 times a year.
And it's been so busy.
It goes on as need basis during those meetings. But yeah, lately it's been every month.
It's been very. There's been a lot of stuff going in the county, which is good.
Yeah.
But it has been so. I would say for the time being, until we get the regs redone, everybody take care of your stuff, and then we'll get it done. It'll take by the time they get written and they go back and forth. It could be, you know, a couple of months easily.
Yeah, it's,
but
it's,
just
you're telling me if we help them with this fence.
What's that?
Don't steer any stuff. So
yeah. And there'll also be a hearing at planning and zoning when they do those changes in the regs. But I would be safe in saying if you wanted to help your neighbors do something to help keep their animals in, I think that would not.
That's all we're wanting. It's like some kind of thing. If we help them, you know, spend all this, you know, time and money putting this fence up, are we still going to be able to keep our animals? Is the thing. So.
And I do know that if you build right on the property line, it is a dual ownership.
Have your
mm-hmm.
They kind of own their half and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I built many, many, many privacy fences in this county, and it's always an agreement between neighbors.
Yeah.
It is. But
there's no way they can stop you if you go
6 inches on your side. Then you can do what you want. Otherwise, you probably have to agree with the neighbor.
Yeah.
And another thing too.
You bet.
If you build your fence 3 foot in on your property line, they cannot adverse possess your property.
Not even after like 10
can,
years.
No,
you maintain that.
Yeah, you would just. Yeah, if you mow your side, you know, you say you leave it long enough that you can run a lawnmower down there, that you're maintaining
there,
your property.
Buy yourself a 24-inch lawnmower to mow it. If you're in fear of that. Then
the next thing would be then the tree issue too. You know, on
bar. Yeah, how that's the thing. We've already talked to her, but she's not in agreement of giving us permission to cut the tree. So.
That's a terrible
job in your fence.
So I have a right if it comes on to grows onto my property.
No, I sure can't give you that opinion.
This apple tree's huge.
No, I mean that would probably be a civil matter between you and her, where you'd have to get a hold of your own attorney to do that. I mean, I can't, just like I said earlier with the windmill, I can't tell anybody what to do with their property. Is there any way you think it can be approached to where there would be some agreement? Hey,
no.
Okay.
It's been
all right. Well, don't cry. Don't stop trying.
Yeah.
And don't just work forward at it. But so the tree issue, you're going to have to work through yourself. But if you're putting a fence up, I mean, you can certainly put a fence on your property.
But yeah, if it's the fence, they can't because that tree hangs over so bad.
They
go
don't
four
hold
foot,
the tree
go down
to
4 foot fence
head.
There.
That's your
okay, so this will go on the planning and zoning meeting.
You're welcome too.
I just don't know the form.
It would be helpful if you would come to the meeting and ask for amendment to the regulations.
Okay. And how do we know when that meeting, or do you know when the meeting is, or do we need to call and get on
the second Tuesday of October.
Second or third?
Yes.
Do we have to call and get on the agenda for that?
I thought it was the third Tuesday.
Yes.
Is it Thursday or Tuesday?
We just had it last week.
Bobby, I will find out and let you know.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
On Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember.
Marty?
Isn't it the
third? Yes, sir.
I think there needs to be a motion put on the floor to revisit that ordinance and to do the corrections. Have it voted on.
Yeah, there's the motion to have, or we're going to have it taken back to them, and when they come back with their new regulations, then we'll act on it. But yeah, they're going to go back and rewrite those, and they'll be in conversation with us during that. It'll be done in a timely fashion.
So you make a motion?
Yeah, because you can't make a motion. There's no motion.
There's no action.
No.
Yeah, we're not making any action on it, so we can't make a motion on it. We're just having them send it back.
So you'll have it in county records?
Yeah.
Joe needs to get it on the...
Oh, yeah.
Their agenda?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it'll be on their next meeting. It'll be on the agenda in their next meeting.
And that will be the second Tuesday.
Is it second or third?
Joan, you have my email?
Joan said he's gonna find out.
Will you email me?
Yep. Joe will let you know. Bobby know, and Bobby is the official disseminator.
From the farmstead.
From the farmstead. You just got...
That's what's fun, you guys all.
You got news.
Dakota County Star, when our meeting.
Okay.
Don't get the paper no more, Joe.
Smart girl kind of person.
Then it's also...
Hey, the Star guy's right here.
That would get shut up.
Yeah. Bobby.
I can't help you, Bobby.
Can you call me?
I will call you.
Do you want my phone number, Joe?
Yep.
712.
If I'm gonna call you, I need one.
You can even text me. I don't know. 712-389-1218.
Hey, Bobby, the Star guy's right here, so if you want a subscription, we can set you up.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Hope everything works out for you.
Thank you.
So they'll review it for all the residents and everybody will get a chance to kind of...
Put in...
The farmstead is basically like a large subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's a little different situation than...
It was originally set up when the GIs came back from World War II, right? And it was...
Yeah, FDR set it up.
Yeah, it was 7-acre hobby farms or starter farms.
Servicemen have a piece of land where they could start, be a starter farm, basically.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
That particular place, Fred Wise worked over Ford Motor Company and then they had a cow and some chickens and a couple of pigs. And Mo Brian should be out there milking the old cow.
Yeah.
Boys wasn't doing it, too lazy. So she had to do it all.
Mm-hmm. It always falls back on mom. It just always seems to.
Yeah, Mahoney Ford, I'll never forget that.
So is this just, I mean, this is just no, I mean, I would guess there's probably a big document with covenants and different things, or is this just one?
There is one not. It's not set up as a subdivision.
Oh, it isn't? Okay.
It's just what FDR started as what it was called, the farmsteads, and there's several of them throughout the country.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully...
It was set up by the federal government way back when the war was over.
Thankfully, back in those days, covenants were usually written on a napkin, you know, not... Yeah, we didn't have to have volumes of everything.
This was before we had regulations and, you know, zoning regulations or anything.
Okay.
And, you know, even like the 1 acre, that's actually classified as a non-conforming lot of property.
So it's changed, the whole thing has kind of changed a little bit.
Yeah, and hardly any of them are still 7 acres. They've been cut up and...
Divided. There's a number of 3 acres.
Yeah.
It looks like it, different sizes.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that...
Several of them, yeah.
They used to even have a community well out there, dug well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and around that one corner right across my brother-in-law, they used to have a vegetable farm there, vegetable stands and stuff, where they'd sell their vegetables they raised in the summer. Whatever Knutson did there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right there in that little corner.
I talked to your brother-in-law the other day, and he thinks you're all right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're all available on rural water now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but it will be good to get these updated because it looks like things have kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to be careful not to just say all of ag residential. It's got to it's going to have to pertain to the
farmsteads.
Yeah.
Concentration of ag residential parcels.
Mm-hmm.
I made the loop the other day and there were I noticed there were some sheep. You know,
well, yeah, we had...
And there's a number of horses on the west side.
We had a number of people that wanted to divide their house, but there's so many people that already have driveways out there that we also have a regulation against having so many driveways within a mile.
Oh, wow.
So they can't, we can't allow any more driveways. So they're either got to combine a driveway with somebody else or...
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a several issues that are pertaining, go against the...
When are you going to put that house on a foundation?
When? That I can't tell you, Larry, but when he does, he has to combine his two driveways.
Yeah, I knew that. Which is, I don't see that being a problem, really.
I can't believe he bought that house and still has it sitting on stilts, but... That's his piece of property, I guess.
Well, thanks for everything. This has been a winding road for you.
Oh, there's several.
All right, Fred Kellogg, the road superintendent. Looks like from the list here, your phone was ringing about as much as mine.
Yes. September 6th to September 19th, total road maintenance, 241 hours. Tree and debris removal, 99 hours. Garbage pickup, 3.5. Gravel haul, 2,400 tons. Sign repair, 8 hours. Road concerns, grading and gravel after the little 2-3 day rain we had. M Avenue, Oakdale, Hamlin, 200th, Nottoway, Cube, Blyberg, and Lake Huana.
Fred, what did we do to fix up Lake Huana Drive?
What did we do?
You mean after that meeting?
No, after the darn rain, I went down and I got turned around. I didn't want to go toward the end, but I was afraid I'd get stuck.
We just graveled it today.
Put more gravel on it?
Yeah. Put some crushed concrete.
Yeah, it was absolutely awful.
That's like Bill Hafke called me and he said, you better take a look at the east end there.
Yeah.
And that's where the garbage truck and the school bus turns around.
No, well, I'm talking about before you ever get there.
Yeah.
That whole thing, where they put the dirt on top of the road, that whole stretch there was terrible. You know? And I know they put gravel on and stuff, but it just wasn't enough to take care of that mud. But anyway, hopefully it'll get better, you know. Anyway, the school bus got stuck out there.
On I Avenue?
Yeah.
Never heard a word from him.
Oh, you never?
No. I was told that he was a substitute driver, and that is not part, that road's not part of the route. He usually turns around and goes back out.
Oh.
I was waiting for the call.
Yeah.
I thought that's... And we usually send out and get the bus routes from all the school districts. We have not gotten them all back yet. If that is going to be a continuous route, well, we'll make the road better. The
roads are a lot better than it used to be, better than just gravel.
For some reason, Mr. Bierman doesn't like that road gravel. He says, don't gravel unless you have to. And I says, if the mailman or the school board or school buses don't require it, then I won't.
Yeah.
But if somebody like that...
Well,
says just too much traffic drives through when it's raining and tears the roads.
Yeah, that could be possible.
But I never heard a word from him, Larry.
Hey, Fred, one more thing. As you get out north of Jackson there, I've had a couple of people tell me that trucks are getting down there. I don't know if it's a GPS deal or what, but then they're getting down on the end of Nottoway there, and then they're like semis are being guided there, and they can't get turned around. So they were thinking if we could just somewhere up the road put a no exit sign or no through traffic would probably be good. If you could hit it anywhere on that road out there, maybe even where you turn there at Old Brushy Bend School or someplace in that area.
I was going to say it'd be best. I'll probably make it earlier because if
you're
up that.
Oh, way, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, because it's only one way in, one way out. So, yeah, if you do that, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you. I know you're working a little bit shorthanded. He's got a couple of guys sick again, Larry, so he's shorthanded again.
Bob get sick?
Who?
Bob.
We had Kevin Chambers was last week, and Matt Roos tested positive over the...
Not names.
No names.
Couple employees.
Bob,
he's not good.
Larry, you can't talk about individual people.
What?
You can't talk about them when they have the COVID.
Oh, you can't.
No, again, talk about individuals.
Privacy laws.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, I need anything about me, yeah.
All right, thanks, Fred.
Individuals are sick, that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so then we have approved resolution 20C-021, signing of county annuals certification of program compliance for 2020, 39-2021, 39-2021-1.
This is that public roads, that all of this stuff has been turned in.
Yep.
It just said that they complied, that they had their public hearing, that they did their 1 and 6, and then the annual report, which is next.
Yep, and then the approval of the annual road report, which is all part of the same thing in general.
Okay. I can make a motion to sign the resolution.
Okay. I'll second it.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes. But as Fred pointed out, things can be added to this 1 and 6 and things like that along the way, right?
Correct.
For instance, you know, I'm sure that building or digging ditches and building up roads is probably just a normal everyday.
Sometimes you can call it maintenance in
either
way.
That's what I was thinking.
There's a fine line there, but every highway superintendent is kind of pushing their way.
Puts the big stuff down. Okay.
All right, next we have Ron Rayner, Rural Dakota City, requesting minimum maintenance road be closed to allow for shooting range.
Okay, my name is Ron Rayner. I live in Dakota City. All the landowners have agreed to let me do this. However, they do not want the road shut down, and it would not be. They need to get in and out of that backfield. But as far as putting a shack there and using it for a shooting range, they have no problem with that. I showed you, I do have insurance on me through Hunter Safety, which is $1 million. Each occurrence is limited to $1 million, and the annual aggregate limit would be $3 million. And there's absolutely, the other papers I've given you that are all highlighted, as long as there's no money exchanged, there's absolutely no recourse against the county if somebody would get hurt out there. That's through this woods and waters law.
So if the road is abandoned, don't you think that one or other of the farmers will start using that property if we abandon that road?
The road will not be abandoned. I have to leave that road open so the farmers can get in and out of that field, because that's the only way Bartles can get to that back field. He was very supportive of it, but the road, it cannot be shut down. They have to have access to that road, which would be no problem. They would have access to that road. I'm just going to set a shooting shack there, and all my stuff is portable, so it'll be moved and put out every time I use it. And even a couple of them are interested in coming and shooting. But the roads will not be shut down, because they need to get to their fields through that road.
And where would the shooting shack set?
I got to talk to Mr. Bartles. They put it down far enough so they can enter their fields. And they've got a spot there where they enter their field. But it's never going to be completely shut down for shooting, because everything I have is portable. It'll be pulled in and put out each time. So that road will basically remain open except where the shooting shack is setting. Because I talked to all of them and told them the road would not be shut down. They'll be able to get around that shack. It's not that big. But that will be set. That I'll have to talk to Mr. Bartles and who's ever farming that ground, if this proceeds that way. Put it down far enough, will not bother them entering that first field, and the rest of the road they would be able to use.
What is this road again? I can't remember.
It's
you can just step up there and show it on the.
Off of 35, right?
It's off of 30.
Go ahead and open that other door there, and then.
It's not on the map.
It's not on it. Be
It'd be right in here between First Avenue.
Right there, I think.
Someplace right in here.
No, it's over to the west.
To the left. Yes, it has to be there.
First Avenue.
That used to go straight through.
I think Kate, is Kate the one that used to go straight through?
That's the one that used to go straight through, and it used to get old.
Yeah, but it doesn't line up with Kate, though.
I think it
is it.
Back here, because there's a sewer comes down.
Yeah, back here. It's about right in here, in my recollection.
Well, there used to be a bridge in the creek down there.
Did K Avenue went straight through then, Larry, back then?
Well, I don't know. It might have come out there.
This is where they're pumping all that water across the roads.
Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might.
It's about right in here.
Could be.
Well, actually, where they're pumping the water is right at K Avenue.
Yeah.
Because it is
east of K.
Comes off of Dorsey.
Just a little bit east of K. It's actually, it comes down this ditch line, cuts across, and it's about right there. This, where he wants to come in, is about right there.
Probably 300 yards from that, or further.
How high is the berm?
Oh, it's way up there.
Behind us. Probably 30 feet.
I have a question.
You bet.
Will you want extra maintenance on that road from the road?
No. Because they said you guys.
We do it once or twice a year.
We do it once or twice a year for the farmers. And then I got to keep it mowed.
That's all I need to know.
And the farmer said he planted too far over on the road.
Oh, really?
Last year, which is no big deal. The bullets will take care of it. No. There's plenty of room. But he's going to have to do some work or something. I don't know how far the road goes for sure.
We usually just, we don't go clear down, I don't think, as far as you're talking. Because it's down about where the pivot is down there.
Because he said he's going to have, somebody's going to have to do some work so they can get across that slough.
We don't.
To that field.
I don't know, that's not the word to tell them.
So you're not leasing space from the farmers to do this? You're just putting on the road? That can't quite be like this.
Yeah.
So you're not leasing space from the farmer, leasing their land to run this? I mean, you're not shooting down the road, you're shooting towards their farm.
No, I'm not. I'm shooting right down the road into the dirt.
Into the berm, the creek goes, there's a berm that goes along that.
Oh, yeah.
A big 30 foot.
We're never going to reach that far.
Yeah.
We shoot at a steel target and the bullets descend right there.
And nobody ever misses?
Oh, you miss, but it just goes into the dirt. I mean, I have them all of you come out.
Yeah.
If it happens, they get set up.
I got three holes in the side of my house from back 2 years ago when they was sighting in their rifles over in the farm ditch. They dug one out, it was 30-06, but they weren't a very good shot because one went through the window. And the other two went off to the side about 2 foot.
Well, that's...
You better give them guys some shooting lessons.
Somebody wasn't doing what they're supposed to do.
Ron Ty had a 50 caliber black powder go through his kitchen and into his cabinets there, right there off Highway 77. Guy was sighting in black powder.
Yes, I wish I had the ground. There's no place in Dakota County to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was so nice where at Anderson's, but now they're building a golf course.
Yeah.
So that took care of
it. Well, they got a shooting range going off to west of that ethanol plant.
Rep-Tech.
That's Rep-Tech.
Rep-Tech.
That's a private.
So they own that piece of property.
Well, he shoots on Anderson. Anderson has the ground. He's shooting up on Anderson ground. He just got a few acres.
Well, that's an old band of road back in there, ain't it, Fred?
Well, we take care of it in the first. And I don't know, Larry, how far, but with...
Wasn't there a gun range outside of Hubbard?
Back
there. There was one down by Homer, too.
But then it went north.
There was one that, I think it was indoor-outdoor north of, or southwest of
Hubbard. Pretty much not being used. There is the minimum maintenance road that comes around on the backside out there on Anderson's ground. He's shooting on Anderson ground. I think he's got 600-yard range right there.
So how does this differ then, like from Rev-Tech or Sumac, or I'm trying to figure out why.
Different?
Yeah, why?
This is a...
I'm not...
Because you're doing this in a public road is the issue.
And he's not charging anybody to do it.
Okay.
He's, you know, those places y'all pay to go
Rev-Tech, and do that. Rev-Tech is an ex-sniper, I believe.
So he trains that type of situation. I've already
dealt. His handguns too, I think.
Yeah, handguns. I can do all that too. I've already, he tried to move in on me out at Anderson's.
Okay.
We didn't get along too good. He charges a pretty good penny for that.
Mm-hmm.
I take people out like my hunter safety kids.
I think our sheriff department even does their training and shooting out there, Red Tech.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And this would be open to the police department or anybody that wants to come out as far as law enforcement, because
mm-hmm.
nobody can shoot that far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can but we see it here?
All mine is portable, so there's nothing. The road's never going to be completely closed.
Is it right
closed.
Here? Is this the bridge? And this is where Nelson's drainage is?
There's your mineral.
Oh, it's way back
right
over
there.
Here.
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
And there's the back side of the dike right there, right?
Yep.
There's the dike.
Right there, where the creek's going through.
Yeah.
That's the dike.
But we're never going to reach that dike. I mean, it's just this area. But the road can't. The road won't be closed because the landowner has to get there.
Is that on Highway 35?
On Highway 35, south of 35.
Yeah, but that's Highway 35 coming out.
Yeah, right here.
It's just basically a pure dirt road.
Yeah, and
I mean, when them trucks get done, I don't know how they get through it, because if there's any moisture, that's so low in there. That's
yeah.
How far from Dakota City is that?
Four. See, Salem Church is what, 5 miles?
Oh, no,
Salem is,
so it'd be
miles.
Six.
I think it's about
six.
Between 7 and 8 miles.
Seven and 8 miles west of Dakota City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Dakota City.
But I'm not opening up this to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So it's private.
This is going to be a private deal.
Invitation.
Because I've been an instructor for over 20 years. I've never had any incidents with a student yet, but knock on wood. But you can't open something like this up to the public. Anderson did a little bit on me up there, and it turns into a nightmare. They left crap all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Yep.
You have to be there.
So this is your insurance right here?
Yeah.
So we'll have to... We'll have to go ahead and go through these documents and contact NIRMA again, and we need to get more information and actually have our people go out and look at the site.
Yep.
So we'll go ahead and do that and move forward from there. We can't give you an answer today, but we'll go ahead and keep digging into it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it. Don't appear we have a sheriff today, so we're...
Can you go back to C?
You bet. To C? Approval of the annual road report. Yeah, we need to make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the annual road report.
How's that going?
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right, we're good to go.
Thank you.
And that takes us to the jail report.
Yeah. Mark sent me those two jail reports, and I printed them back to back, but I don't see.
They're on both sides of the.
Yeah.
So it looks like that the numbers have been fairly consistent. 34 inmates, or federal inmates in August, 86 total. And this last month we've gone to 96 total inmates, but up to 38 federal inmates average per day. So the inmate population is staying fairly even. I did talk to county judge this morning. I know that they are wanted to get some video equipment and TV equipment, so they are going to start doing the process. We are lucky enough to keep our new county judge here in Dakota County, which was a big deal. I know Kim's office and a lot of other local attorneys and other people from the community had voiced their opinion, so thank you a lot for doing that. I know it's kind of self-serving because it makes it a little nicer for you guys to have that, but it's also really nice to have that
whole community.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. It's really nice for the whole community to have a judge here, because whether it's law enforcement trying to get things signed, or it's just really nice to have that, so we're lucky to keep them.
Great, wonderful. How long will it take to fill that position, what did they say?
They haven't.
They can't just.
Put anything out there yet, so. Hopefully soon, but.
Sounds good.
And then, we're going to approve resolution 20C-022, to declare personal property as surplus, obsolete, or unusable by the county authorized officials to surplus personal property pursuant to Nebraska surplus statute.
Decatur Electronics.
Yep, just the one.
Just one item?
For the sheriff, yeah.
And then it goes on a sale, is that what happens?
I have it down there on that last paragraph that the sheriff will dispose of the property.
Okay, pursuant to the.
Yeah, we just need to declare it surplus so that he can sell.
Okay. I don't know, I guess if he says it's surplus, it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what this is, Decatur Electronics, it's a trailer. Oh, it's probably one of those that.
Radar speed.
That radar.
Yeah, and it shows how fast you're going when you drive into town.
All right, I can make a motion.
And I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
All right, G, approve chair to sign contract documents for the Dakota County Jackson Bank Stabilization Project for Bridge C00222-1710. So the project that we had approved last meeting and talked about the meeting before that, it'd just be to sign off on that.
I'll make that a motion. I think they were, I went on a bike ride this morning and they were surveying that bridge.
Were they?
Yeah, they were, I mean, they were down in there.
Uh-huh. You're good.
Did they get the blank filled in on page 12? And the 5%? 5% total bid is blank. I mean, I calculated it myself, but that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean they necessarily want me to fill that in.
Well, that'd have been the bid bond, right? 5%?
5% of total bid.
Yeah.
Is that usually the bid bond, Larry? That's normally the bid bond, 5%?
As far as performance bond, I guess I didn't notice it, but I didn't see it.
There's stuff on the very back of the bid bond, a performance spot on the back of that.
Should be a performance and maintenance.
Okay, so they didn't fill out the blank anywhere then?
Nope. But on the very, keep going. To turn.
Are we supposed to assume?
Well, there's a bid bond.
That's blank too.
Okay. Is it normal to leave that blank? Is it something that?
Well, the bid's over, so you don't even need a bid bond now. But there should be a.
So it's not applicable.
Well, it may not be. I don't know. I don't know the rule of law, but. For sure, we'd have to have performance and maintenance bond. But that should be turned in prior to the signing of the documents.
Yep, and they've got a bond here. Just blanks on a contract.
Who's the engineer? That was McNally, Canelli or McNally?
Oh.
Is that the bridge in Jackson?
Yes.
Isn't that the one that they did? They reviewed all the stuff?
Yeah, that's their job to review that stuff.
Wasn't there a penalty in there even if it didn't get done?
Yeah, apparently it is.
It's just an amount, I guess, that they need to calculate.
Can you fill it in and what you think it should be, and then when we sign it, we send it back with the amount put in? And initial it, that's what we calculate that as. I mean, then in essence, you find the document that you had, what you thought that amount was. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I do that on contracts.
Uh-huh.
Change things, put my initials in it, and when I send it back.
If you agree to it, yeah. That's out of step.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the total is 100,841.50 with 5%. I've got $5,042.80. I mean, I'm one to
pull them in. You're the lawyer. Yeah. But, I mean, that's kind of what you thought it was.
Yeah. But why is that blank?
Maybe we're not holding the check. Maybe it's in lieu of, the bid bond is in lieu of holding the check. Is that
what? Oh, did they give you a check?
That's all what she did. Wants to fill in, that we, maybe we don't hold the check if we have the bond, if it's in lieu of the bond.
Yeah, normally that check gets returned and then it's just
right, signed. Right. And we don't have one that I'm aware of. I haven't seen one.
Oh. Well, we
unless it came with the original bid.
Well, it should have.
Okay.
A bid bond or a check should have came with the original bid.
Yeah.
Here's the bid bond. But there's not a bid check. I didn't know if you...
No, bond takes care of the check.
But yeah, the bond takes care of the check.
Like the same stuff.
So maybe it's blank because there's no check.
As long as we know.
That's probably why it's blank, because there's a bond and ooh,
is the check. Check and for the money. So the bond, essentially, we'd have a claim on that bond. Is that how that works?
If he would back out. That 5% bond, the bid bond is if he bid the job and then he got the thing, well, I don't want the job, and then he just walk off if he don't have the check or that 5%.
This gives us.
You know, and then, I mean, and it don't happen very often because normally it's, you know, something is submitted. The bid bond, then if the bid bond, then you go after the bonding company if it costs the county any additional work, rebidding it or cost of some sort, then they get it from the bonding company supposedly, but it's not the easiest thing to do. You gotta fight with them guys, you know, they're going nothing.
A check is better, right?
Yes,
right, to me it is.
A check is better.
Yeah, but there's some outfits won't accept a check. Dang, you see, even a certified. Dang, you see, won't accept it. I bid a job in Silver Grove, Kansas, one time the guy did the very thing, he put on in a check, certified check. It was as good as gold. See? And I'll be danged if there wasn't an attorney or the chairman stood up and said, we cannot accept, it says clearly in the book, that it had to be a bid bond, see? And it said no checks would be accepted, see? So then this guy said, if he can't read the book, the specifications, good and well enough to know that he's got to have a bond, we don't want him doing the job. We got the job, believe it or not. Curdow, Kansas. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if the guy, but he was from about 40 miles from there, so maybe he worked there before and they didn't want no part of it. I don't really know. But then it just happens. But to me, I'd rather have the check.
All right.
Did the state get filled in?
We'll fill in the date today when we sign it. Okay.
All right, approved care to sign contract document agreements for Old Sawmill Road paving project.
Did we finish this? Sorry.
Oh. Did we approve?
We're back there on Jackson.
Yeah, we need to approve the chair to sign.
Janet made a motion. I got Janet making the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, Larry?
Yeah, I think so.
Sign it? We got a bond?
What?
Because we have that bond. You're okay to sign it?
Yeah, that's the main thing, that performance bond. That way, now you're guaranteed that you're gonna perform. If you don't, then you have the bond to come again in this case, and they gotta hire somebody to come in and fix it, or do it.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
And we'll go to approve the chair to sign contract document agreements for Old Sawmill Road paving project.
And I did go in and change Omaha County to Omaha on that one.
Like, why would Omaha get to annul our contract?
I can make a motion unless there's something that somebody knows about that project or documents.
Looks good to me.
In order?
And I second that motion.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have anything going on here in the last 2 weeks?
I went to, last time I told you that I was going to the Household Hazardous Waste Collection in Northeast Nebraska. It was in Pender. We had over 100 cars, and that's the first time I've been to hazardous waste.
Yeah.
You would not believe how many paint came, how much paint comes in. And we filled a whole huge rollout with paint cans.
Oh my gosh.
Oil, 2,4-D, pesticides, all kinds of chemicals, so it was really...
Yeah, those are a really good service, even when they do the electrical e-waste or any of those, or the tires. Those are all good, because a lot of that stuff winds up in our water table or in our ditches if they don't have an easy place to get rid of it, so that's...
Yeah, they do some good stuff. I talked to the... Yeah, I was impressed.
We have a couple of things that...
P&Z and Health, that Health Insurance Committee, this may be...
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We had our Health Committee met, what is that, like last Monday?
Yeah.
And we had some... I can't remember the name of the gentleman that was most...
Robert and Don.
And they helped us kind of navigate how to put together, an RFP to reach out to companies.
Yeah.
They had a list of companies they were going to, that they thought would be good candidates to look at our plan.
So the group that's made up of county employees, it's nice, it's educational for them too.
Yep.
So... we got an RFP, so we'll be awaiting some return information to have our health insurance looked at.
I think it was October that we were...
October 19th, I think we opened those
RFPs.
So that'll be good. But yeah, there's representation from the sheriff's department, the roads department, commissioners, treasurer's office.
Yeah.
Good representation. I think it'll be good for all of us.
I put something in your packet, Janet.
Oh.
That planning and zoning, you were asking me about the membership there. There's some membership that needs to be filled.
That's right. Okay, then I've also gotten some calls this week on, well, obviously we've got a lot going on with the planning and zoning committee.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I'm learning this myself, it sounds like things that originally the planning and zoning, they get appealed to this board of adjustments, I guess. That sounds right? And the Board of Adjustments is light on people right now. They've had one move away, one passed away. They have 6 members, and 4 of their 6 members have, that's all they have left now.
Okay.
So they're thinking, with lots of things going on, it might be nice to have another member on that, that hearing board.
Dennis Reinhardt is the gentleman who called me. I don't know if he's the chair or not. I don't know what his role is. But he mentioned Bill and Christy Quinn as potential members. So I don't know if he's talked with them or not. But I guess we have to post it and ask for
anybody who would be interested in serving.
They advertise for Board of Adjustments. P&Z fills that, not, and then they sent advertisements out and no one answered. So then they thought they had some people lined up. They gave them applications, but they didn't return them. So I think we can maybe contact P&Z and Joe again and just ask if they... You're on that board, Larry. I mean, can we just send applications?
I don't know about what you were saying there, but they just had a guy resign, but he found a replacement.
He did find a replacement.
Yeah. And that's for the planning and zoning.
Okay.
Yeah, but so this adjustments thing. Mm-hmm.
Who was the replacement for, is it, who left? Somebody?
Warren
Hazen.
Yeah, Warren Hazen.
Warren
Hazen
moved, yeah.
And who's replacing him?
Well, yeah, what did he say? I didn't recognize the name, I don't think.
It wasn't Tim Decker, was it?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he even said one or two, but he said, I got your replacement. He said, you had to do it. I don't know.
Is there a requirement for, like, male, female, Republican, Democrat, anything like that on these boards? It's just
if you can find a volunteer that's willing to serve, okay. That's about the requirement.
There's an application, a little bit of an application they complete and state why they want to serve and how they, you know, how they view interpreting the regs type thing, so that they kind of keep it.
Well, then McCabe, he's on here. He's planning zoning guy.
McCabe sits on both boards.
Yeah,
the Secretary
the
of P&Z sits on the Adjustments Board.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then the Board of Adjustments is down two people, the way I understand it.
Yeah, Board of Adjustments is down two. Now we've got the Planning and Zoning back up.
Charles Nelson.
He passed away.
Boy, that Charlie. I didn't know he was on the Board of Adjustments. He could have been on.
Yes, that's him. That's who that was. Mm-hmm.
They don't meet very often. I mean, you know, maybe once a year or sometimes.
So quit looking at me.
Maybe Marcy.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, they need another girl on there because there's only one.
She's an alternate.
Marcy?
No, Sally.
Oh, Sally.
She's the alternate.
Well, now they need a full-timer.
They're talking about you, Marcy. They want you on the Planning and Zoning or Bill of Zone Board or Board of Adjustments. That would be a good spot if you want to be in on that on the wind.
That would be.
You write your own rules.
They don't meet very often. I mean, it'd be interesting.
Thorn and a voice at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you do. You have to have different thoughts of you.
Mm-hmm. I haven't considered you a thorn at all. I think you brought us great information.
Yeah, I think you're really, absolutely. But anyway, that's what I understand is we do need some more.
Okay.
So if we can ask people, or if we...
If you know of anybody who might be interested in...
Mm-hmm. Or post it. I don't know what the legally requirement is, but...
Well, it was advertised.
Mm-hmm. So we could accomplish that.
And there was no... There hasn't been anybody that, so they were just asking for names or maybe.
Mail or emergency business. We had the NERMA Board of Directors 2020 election coming up. So if there's anybody you want on the ballot, I guess this.
Actually, the county board chair has to cast the ballot or designate someone to do it.
It's going to be a virtual meeting this year?
Yes, it is.
Are you going to be in on that part of the virtual meeting, Joan?
I can be.
I am going to designate you as my personal representative to cast the ballot for the NERMA Board of Directors for 2020 election.
I'll second it. Yep.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
And with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
Martin, who was the guy that's standing over here?
Rick Bosquet.
Bosquet, okay.
Yep, Rick. He's running for city council, and he was a former commissioner, so he had background in both.
Gotcha.
And he's a farmer, so he had lots of information there.
Okay.
You know, they didn't mention in this